be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Title of our message this morning is A Way Through the Sea. And the lesson it's based on is not any of the assigned text we read this morning. Sometimes there comes in the life of a congregation, in the ministry of a pastor, a necessity to pick a free text. This is a free text. Over the last few weeks, I have dealt with so many people in our congregation, funerals, difficulties, and trials, that this message is particularly geared for those situations. Based on Exodus chapter 14, let me just read two verses for you. It's the story, as the children sermon suggested, of the people of Israel leaving Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. I read Exodus 14, 11 to 14. The people said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in this wilderness? Would it not have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here?" But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. The Lord himself will fight for you." I encourage you to open up your bulletins and find there the cream-colored insert. You'll find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, A Way Through the Sea. The children of Israel were in a bad way. They were captives. They were slaves in a foreign land named Egypt. And thoughts like these must have filled their every waking hour. Egypt. Slavery. Stooped shoulders. Heavy hearts. They prayed and nothing happened. They prayed and things got worse. They prayed and God showed no sign of answering. They would have stopped praying, but what was the alternative? But all the while, God had been listening. At just the right moment, God placed Moses before Pharaoh of Egypt with these famous words, you know the words, "Let my people go." And go they did. Out of darkness, into light, out of slavery, into freedom, out of Egypt, into the promised land. But only a couple of days later, and here's where our text comes, they stood silently before the imposing waters of the Red Sea. And as Don suggested, they had no ferry. They were silent and bewildered, silent and nervous, silent and choked with disappointment, until the silence was broken by the pounding of Pharaoh's chariot and his armies and his soldiers and his horses coming behind them. There was no way to escape, no way around, no way over, no way through, no way at all. And now Exodus 14 picks up the story. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept back the sea by a strong east wind at night, and so the waters were divided. Then the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, all of Pharaoh's horsemen and all of Pharaoh's chariots. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may come back again over the Egyptians." So Moses stretched out his hand, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters covered them up, and none of them remained. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel believed in the Lord, and they believed in Moses, his servant. Where there was no way, God made a way. Where there was no escape, God made an escape. Where there was no hope, God gave hope. God did for his people what they could not do for themselves. When faced with the impossible, God made the waters of the sea to give way so his children could make it to the other side. Hear carefully the first theme of our message today. There are times in our lives when God causes the seas before us to give way. The same God who made a way for his Hebrew children when there was no way is the same Lord that we worship today. And in large and in small ways, God still performs miracles for his children. He makes a way where there is no way. Some have prayed a long time for a loved one. When it appeared that medicines and doctors and hospitals could do no more. And then they gave glory to God when the doctor met them with these words, "I don't know what happened. I don't understand it. She has suddenly improved. If I didn't know better, I would think it's a miracle. She's going to be all right." Who has not faced an awful crisis or a crushing defeat in your life only to watch God make a way for you when there seemed there was no way? If we've come to believe in this day and age that God is not a God of miracles, listen to me again carefully here. If we believe today that God is not a God of miracles, then it's time to close up shop, lock the church doors, sell the church property, and put up another housing development in this place. But no, we believe that God makes a way where there is no way. Now, there is a false gospel out there today. There's a false teaching out there today. And it goes something like this. You've heard it. If you are a real Christian, you will have no setbacks. If you are a real Christian, you will not have inoperable cancer. If you are a real Christian, you will not experience the loss of a job, the loss of a marriage, rebellious children. For real Christians, this false teaching says, everything always turns out all right. There is, of course, a biblical, authentic Hebrew word for this kind of false teaching, and that word is baloney. Real Christians are pounded by life circumstances, like everybody else. Everything does not always turn out all right for Christians. Yet, deep down in our knower, we know that there's more going on in our lives that meets the eye. So we turn to God, believing that He can make a way where there is no way. Trusting that God can make the seas in our life part before us when we need Him. As He did for the Hebrews trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's chariots, God can provide a miracle for us. God can separate the high water. God can bring good from any terrible circumstance. Our God is still in the miracle business. The first truth from our text today is this, and hold on to it dearly before we move to truth number two. The first truth is this: there are times in our lives when God causes the seas to give way. But there's another truth here. It's as important as the first truth. In fact, without the second truth, the first truth is just a half truth. And here it is. Just as there are times in our lives when God will cause the sea to give way, there are also times when God will choose not to separate the waters for us. At times, God will choose, for reasons only known to Himself, not to provide a miracle. There are times when we simply have to face what we have to face. There are times in our lives, aren't there? When the bad news is bad and only gets worse. And this was even true for our precious Lord Jesus. On the night before His crucifixion, in the midnight shadow of some olive trees, in His heart-wrenching conversation with His heavenly Father, Jesus prayed, "Father, remove this cup from me." That is, "I don't want to go to the cross." That is, "Please, Father, make a way where there is no way." But Jesus prayed on, "Nevertheless, Father, Thy will be done, not mine." Obviously, the Heavenly Father could have provided a way. He could have. But for Jesus, He did not. So with Jesus, there was a time in His life when He simply had to face what He had to face. And face it He did for us. To that cross He went for you. To that cross He went for me. The sinless one becoming sin and bearing sin for us. To that cross Jesus went. Forsaken by God as He bore the sins of the world, as He bore your sins and mine. And what did He cry out? "My God! My God," He cried out, "why have You forsaken me?" The Father forsook His Son on the cross as He bore the sins of the world so that He would never forsake you. Never forsake you. Jesus went for you. On the cross, paying for our sin, dying our death, defeating our devil, opening up for us the doors of our heaven, Jesus was making a way for us when there was no other way. But Himself finding no way out of the suffering He endured because He did it for you. Now, biblical and church history is full of examples of lives of God's children with no way out, with no delivering miracles. For example, the beloved Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, the letters of John, the Revelation according to John, the beloved Apostle John, living out his last days of life on this earth in exile on a far-flung island called Patmos. Polycarp, an early bishop and leader of the church, burnt at the stake because he would not deny his Lord Jesus. Martin Luther, running for his life under the threat of death. The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon, laboring his entire life under the burden of emotional depression, and yet preaching such wonderful sermons. My friends, there are times in our lives when we just have to face what we have to face, and God, for whatever reason He chooses, does not make the seas give way. But this brings us to the third and the final truth of our sermon, and it's printed there on your outline. Sometimes God makes the seas give way. Sometimes He doesn't. But the third and final truth is this: always, did you hear me? Always, God will give His children what we need to stand firm at the water's edge. And now let me explain to you about the hymn we just sang. It went peace like a river. It was written by a man named Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was a very rich and prosperous attorney in Chicago at the end of the 19th century. He was a father of five children, very active in his church. And then a series of tragedies struck in Horatio Spafford's life, one after the other. In 1871, his only baby son died. Soon after, the famous Chicago Fire happened, which wiped out all of his extensive real estate holdings. 2 years later, in 1873, came what could have been the final blow. He had planned a family vacation in Europe, but at the last minute, business kept him in Chicago. But he sent ahead his wife and his four daughters, Tanetta, Maggie, Annie, and Bessie, on the ship Villa du Havre. A few days out to sea, their ship was struck by another ship, and in 12 minutes, 226 souls perished. Mrs. Spafford was among the few who survived, and she telegraphed a message to her husband, just two words: saved, alone. Horatio Spafford took the next ship to Wales to join his wife. But when the ship passed over the site of the tragedy, the kind ship captain stopped the ship. With the eyes of a father, Horatio Spafford looked into the black waters where his children were lost. Never again would he hear their laughter. Never again would he be greeted by their delightful papa. Never again would he feel their hugs on this earth. Never. And on that bone-chilling and windswept sea in November of 1873, Spafford pulled from his coat pocket the cable telegram from his wife. And on the back of it, he wrote the words to this hymn we just sang. You're going to listen to me sing the first verse, whether you like it or not. Spafford wrote these words: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. My friends, there are times in your life when God will make the seas give way. There are other times He will not. But the great and good news is this: our God, for Jesus' sake, will always give us what we need to stand at the water's edge. And with His help, we can say, it is well, it is well with my soul, in the name of Jesus. And now we're going to sing that hymn one more time, 763. Open up your hymnals. Now that you know how the hymn was written, the context, the background, we sing 763. And I invite you to sing it with gusto. Would you rise to sing this hymn?